Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the expansion strategy,
sure,
especially destination-wise.
Sure. Well, I know that one of the things you're curious about is sort of what makes us different, you know, for Holland America Line, and how are we trying to take advantage of that. So one of the things that we pride ourselves on is the way in which we deliver the world to all of our guests, with 15 ships deployed literally everywhere in the world. We touch 7 continents most years. And so that's sort of a unique proposition for people who are seeking to go to new places in the world and do them, honestly, do them in comfort, do them with a kind of part of the journey is known and part of it is the destination to explore. So, you know, we've been quite good at that over the years. In fact, recently on board, we've added something we call On Location, which you will experience this week, where depending on where we are in the world, we bring more of that local content on board. So if we're in Australia, we're going to have more Australian wines. We're going to shift what we do with our entertainment. We're going to shift what we do on the lecturing on board to reflect the destination we're in. And that's just one way that we can show that we have a difference. But the other one is more about what we plan. And so the biggest piece, you know, notice in a lot of our itinerary planning is that we have less seven day long cruises than we used to, because what we found is that to try to put the itineraries together that give us a difference, it takes more than 7 days. Mm-hmm. But the other unique thing about our itinerary planning, and it's a way to think about how you get destination, is most all of our itineraries have a following itinerary that is planned at the same time, and we call those collectors. You won't repeat any ports in that. So if you take a 12-day Med and then you turn around and take another, let's say you do Barcelona-Rome, and then you do Rome-Athens. You know, you won't repeat any ports in that. But even if you came back up and you did Venice, Rome, and then you did Rome, Rome, Barcelona. You still, even though you're in the Med, you're going to find yourself in different places over that time. As well, the way we designed the food cycle on board and the menu cycle, you won't repeat any meals over a 21-day period. So we have a menu cycle that sort of matches up with our destination planning cycle. So why do we do that? We do it because we found, you know, there are many people who have enough time, not me, but have enough time, because I lurk in America, where we don't have holiday like some other places. But they have the time and they have the interest in going on one big trip. When you think about the cost of your holiday vacation, particularly if you're traveling to Europe, one of the big expenses is your air. And so people will sort of, they think about it as spreading their air cost over that many more days. And so they really, you know, they've sort of thought this through. And we get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who do these collectors with us, depending on where we're going. Some ships will have a third of the passengers will be going from one voyage to the next. So if you think about how do you do destination, how do you bring it to people, why do they want it, and then how do you collect, you know, how do you put the whole package around it? We've thought about it from all the different aspects, not just from where we can go, but then the other unique thing about it is that if you do one of those collector's voyages, you're going to be in the same stateroom for the entire time, even though they are two different voyages. So if you were to look in whatever the local nautical authority is, and in the U.S. it's the Coast Guard, they would see that as two different voyages. We've made it so that in our system you don't have to change your stateroom. That's a big deal, because in the past, if people bought back-to-back voyages, even if they were in the same stateroom, they had to leave. They had to get off the ship. They had to get their stuff out. You know, it was complicated. And we are able to work our system and then and our reporting system so that it all works. So that's something that we're excited about.
Is that mainly focused in the West market?
No, we have collectors from all over. I mean, anybody can take a collector. When you go, when you think about where we go from, you know, particularly from some of the some in Europe, a lot of people are interested in exploring Asia. A lot of people are interested in exploring, maybe going down to Australia. So people will take a part of a circumnavigation of Australia, and then they'll go over all the way over to New Zealand, right? And so they'll combine those two kinds of things together. It's more about the, you know, that traveler type that, that really is looking to, you know, explore the world. And then we have all of the, then we have what you guys will experience. We have very intensive knowledge of particular places. Alaska, we've been operating for more than 60 years in Alaska. And so we know the place. We know how to get you around in Alaska. We know we have historical access to some places that other people don't have at the same level, like Glacier Bay. And so that makes this whole experience, it reflects our ability to deliver that destination to you in ways that not everybody can do. And it just comes from our history.
Can you just briefly elaborate about Glacier Bay?
Glacier Bay is a permitted national park. And so there's only so many entrances allowed every day. And there's more cruise lines than permits. And because we've been operating there for quite a long time, we have rights to a certain number of the permits as long as we continue to deploy itineraries there, and we do. I don't know if they're going to go into Glacier Bay or when you get up there, you'll see. It's a special place, and many people want to take these Alaska cruises because they're going to have a glacier. But we found, you know, we go to Sawyer Glacier, which is an equally stunning place, but not as well known, not as easy to navigate. The size of our ships allows us to get, you know, to get in that channel. It was actually 2 years ago. Yeah, when we did the Centurion, we went there, and it was just beautiful.
It's stunning.
Yeah, I mean, stunning. Very different than Glacier Bay. Glacier Bay is a very wide, it's a very big area to operate in. You go to the Marjorie Glacier, and then you leave there, and you go to a smaller glacier as you're exiting. But it's those kinds of touches that we have that that make it possible for us to deliver on the destination promise that we have for our guests.
The audience is everyone in these days is going to China.
Yes.
Chinese market.
Yes.
Is that an option for in America?
Well, China, our Arnold Donald, our CEO, just I think said, you know, China's the future, you know, a big part of the future of the business. He's right. It is. We as in many places in the world where what we do is let people go explore the world. That's where we get our Chinese visitors. We're getting Chinese visitors who want to go someplace else. And so we call it the fly cruise China market. It's the same for our Japanese customers, our customers from Singapore, our customers from a lot of places that are it's the Far East, but it's west from here, so I'm always confused about that because I'm as far west as I can get in North America. But I'm told it's in the east, so I'm trying to figure out where east and west stop. But that's really what we seek to do. Our sister brand in the Holland America Group, Princess, is the brand that is going and going to operate in China. They've made a quite large commitment, both in terms of their investment. Shipbuilding. Ships and I think we announced that the ship that's going to come in 2017 is actually going to be purpose built and deployed to China. Yeah. And our chief operations officer, Alan. Why am I drawing a blank?
Buckelow?
Yeah, Alan Buckelow, is officed in Shanghai. So as a corporation, you know, we're quite committed to China, but some of the brands, my brand, and others will take advantage of the huge number of Chinese who desire to see the rest of the world. And as the visa requirements become easier, right, more known for a lot of those travelers, it's going to get the competition's going to heat up for where you can take them. So we're spending our time trying to figure out who wants to travel in China, Where, how do we reach them? We operate through GSAs in China, General CERT. So, and they find then the local agencies. You cannot operate as a foreign company in China. You must do business through a licensed Chinese travel seller. And you actually, you know, that's why you work through a general service agent, a GSA, and then they have their own licenses to operate in China.
So what kind of audiences that you get in China? Because, I mean, Chinese market is even worse here with getting vacation. Three or four days where it doesn't fit together with collector's cruises.
It doesn't. It's similar to what we find with our guests from Japan. They have 7 days, and so we have quite a large number of our Japanese guests who go to Alaska. So they come in to Vancouver or they come in to Seattle. They fly in, they do 7 days, and they fly home. We do have Chinese travelers who are on the wealthier side of the scale, and they may be able to get over to Europe, and experience maybe a 10-day, but it's a growing market for us, but it's a small part of the Holland America Line business. It's not the place that we're most interested in. I mean, we have a quite large business in Australia. I mean, and that market now will have more than 1 million cruisers in 2015. It has the highest penetration of any developed market in the world. It's nearly 4.5%. The U.S. is about 3.3, I think was CLIA's last number. I think they were 4.4 or 4.5. And projected to grow another 500,000 people. So for us, we can go operate in Australia. We can sail around Australia and sell cruises to Australians, and then we can bring people to Australia. So when we think about, China, yes, important to me. But I think about a place right now where people know me, where people understand what my product is. How do I get better in those places? And then the rest will come. I mean, there'll be sort of a natural, I think, evolution of what happens in a lot of the smaller markets that we operate in now.
So speaking about getting better, getting more audience from the markets you know already, let's take the example of Germany.
Let's take the example of Germany.
I mean, what is it you can do as a more or less American-based cruise line? A lot of competition. Princess in your own house, celebrity.
Not to say anything of Tui and Aida.
Aida is probably not in the same market as you, but Tui is pretty close.
Tui is.
So what is it you can do to attract more audience, especially in a difficult market like Germany?
That's a great question. We need to work even more than we do today with our partners in Germany, because the way we're going to be successful in Germany is to identify those travel partners, whether they're big or small, who have a sense of what their customers look like. So we want Germans who want to travel outside of Germany. We want Germans who have a view that traveling with a wide range of other people is something they seek in their holiday versus don't want. And we know this is true in every country we operate in. You have people who just, in America, is very big about this. You have people who only want to travel with Americans. You have people who don't want to travel with Americans. So it's doing that. It's doing things like what we're doing this in 2016, where we're going to have the Koningsdam, the Rotterdam, and the Prinsendam all home ported or transiting through the Netherlands. So you can easily get people from Western Germany over, quick flight, a little bit longer drive or train ride, over to either Amsterdam or Rotterdam or Eemuiden. So some of it is deployment, some of it is working with our trade partners, and honestly, some of it is just time. We are growing quite rapidly in Germany, but we're growing off of a small base. And we're getting, one of the great things about being part of Carnival Corporation is the ability to learn from the other brands inside our company. And so actually, my last trip over to Germany, we spent a day with our colleagues at AIDA in Rostock, helping, and actually trying to help us understand, how do you do that? You know, how, if you were us, how would you do it? And what's the way that it'll be successful? What we find is that, you know, it takes a few years, it takes a couple of years when you start to get people on board. But our once you've sailed with us, you're known as a mariner. We know pretty quickly, 2-3 years, if they're coming back. Is that sort of the cycle of repeat in the industry? Some people sail every year, but most people are sailing in putting cruising in with a bunch of other vacations, a bunch of other holidays that they take annually. Once people start to come back, that's when it starts to actually build on itself, because those who sailed with us and like it are going to get somebody else to sail with us and like it. And we just get a little bit more momentum once we've built the base. So we see it growing. We've seen it grow quite well this year, but it's going to take us working differently, a bit differently than we have. And that's something that Nico Bleichert and I are working on right now. He's our managing director in Rotterdam.
So how did you grow this year in Germany?
Yeah, we did. I can't tell you how much, but we grew quite a bit. I can't.
Can't give any money.
No, no numbers. No, no. No, we grew. We grew a lot. We grew a lot. I can't. But thank you for asking.
I have to.
And I'll look at this microphone and say,
I knew I wouldn't get an answer.
No,
I'm
going to say that again. I can't give out any numbers.
Any feelings, any directions?
We're very excited about what can happen in Germany for us, because we think we've got a product based, even in the short term, just out of the Netherlands next year, that's easily accessible. And we also know that Germans are great at planning travel, great at consuming the world. They're interested in going other places in the world. And so when they just have to understand our brand. So you have to get people on board, and we have to do things like we're doing here. We need people to not just to write about us, but to write about the experience in ways that people can gain access to it. So these kinds of trips that you're doing are quite important to us as well, because we leverage them when we're in the market.
One of the things I'm really curious, because I never really understood how that works, is how the different cruise lines within the Carnival Corporation work together, especially Hold America, Princess Cruises, which are, I think, quite close in the market together. How do you work together with the other lines in the corporation, and how much do you probably work together or differentiate?
So the short answer is we do both. And so the way we're constructed, so I'll start with Carnival. So Carnival Corporation, 9 brands, actually now 10 brands, as we just launched a new sort of social impact brand a couple of weeks ago. And so each of those brands has a distinct, what we'll call a swim lane, that they function in. So certain brand pillars or truths about that brand that they try to reinforce. And then inside of Carnival Corp, there may be subgroups. So I'm part of the Holland America group, in which Holland America Line, Princess, P&O, Australian Seabourn sit inside of. And so you asked specifically about Princess. And so while Princess and Holland America serve a similar age demographic, there are some distinctions in terms of what we emphasize and how we go to market. And so that was always there. But what I would argue, and I've been with Holland America now about 6 months, and so we've worked to clarify those swim lanes even more. And so there are differences in terms of some of the things that we emphasize. Now I would argue, both Princess and Holland America offer a wonderful cruise, and we have wonderful food and go to wonderful destinations and things like that. But there are some distinctions. Holland America, 142-year history, what we'd call European elegance that we try to execute and deliver, sort of a timeless style. You'll start to hear a little bit more from us around not just the destinations that we go to, but the way we deliver and execute in those destinations. So it's not what you'll hear us talk more about. It's not just about being on a cruise ship and ending up in a location, but it's hopefully going to be really about how do we deliver that destination and allow you to touch, feel, and taste some exotic places in the world. We go to 421 ports. We could have an argument about that. That's the most of any cruise line. You guys can help me with that, maybe. But we go to a lot of places. I asked the question, we've done the research, and there's a little bit of a debate, but
yeah.
We go to a lot of places, we'll say that. and so, you know, 421 ports, 120 countries, all seven continents. And so for people that want to, you know, touch, feel, taste, you know, experience a destinations that maybe they wouldn't go to otherwise, I feel that we offer that. We do that in a way that's uniquely Holland America. This we're, you know, I spend every night, I read letters, customer letters, before I go home, and clearly the letters that get to me are extreme. So usually sometimes extreme bad, sometimes extreme good, but the extreme good letters that I get generally are about our service, the way we take care of our guests, the things that we do, some remarkable stories about how we go above and beyond in relation to serving our guests. And so those are things that are what I would call Holland America hallmarks. And so we've done those really well for years, and we want to continue to do those really well for years. And so attracting that mature traveler that wants to experience exotic destinations in a timeless, elegant type of style, that's the guest that we think would be attracted to us. And so there's, I think, some distinction between how we execute and how Princess executes in a wonderful way, but that, you know, creates a little bit more room for some other factors, maybe families or some of those things that we offer, but not with the same emphasis.
And how does working together figure out, are you sitting for, I mean, especially in the German market, you get AIDA as a German brand within a corporation. Are you sitting together with them and discussing with them how to approach the German market with Holland America, things like that?
We're moving in that direction. So Carnival Corporation, you've got the Holland America group, so I explained that. We've got the Costa group, so you mentioned AIDA and Costa, that would fit there. And so there's a few things that are going on at the same time. So within the Holland America group, we are all positioned. So we have brand presidents that are responsible for clarifying and articulating the brand execution for each brand. There is also a shared services group that's responsible for helping manage fleet and some of the other procurement activities across the brand. So in that are some opportunities for some sharing, cost efficiencies, things like that. And this is all new. So this sort of group structure is something that's been instituted within the last, it's less than a year because it started right when I got here. And so getting the balance between the things that need to be customized to execute the brand strategy for each distinctive brand and creating room for opportunities to collaborate in a way that works in the best interest of the group or of the corporation. So there's two levels of that. Now, the next extension of that is when those different groups, Holland America Group, Costa Group, Carnival, making decisions about how to best deploy to meet guest needs and opportunities around the globe, and we do a version of that as well. And so, you know, we want to service Germany, we want to go to China, we want to deploy in the Caribbean, and so we work on sort of a strategy at the brand level, we look on strategy at the group level, and then there's a look at deployment strategy at the corporation level to figure out how we can be as efficient as we can in meeting customer needs, so it works for a win-win. Our customers are happy and they have the types of destinations, tours, trips that they want, and it works for us from a revenue and a profit perspective.